Thank you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
I love what Eddie is doing with his family in that video, don't you? I mean, isn't there a whole new meaning now to Christmas if you lived in the James house? Eddie James's family just totally bought into to this gift of Christmas and of hiding baby Jesus. I mean, as soon as Thanksgiving was put away, the advent of Christmas began to arrive in their house. That's what advent means. It means arrival. That's what the word advent means. It means arrival. And for Eddie's family, the arrival of Christmas meant hiding baby Jesus. And it just brought a newfound gift of expectancy. I took our baby Jesus this morning, by the way. I got permission because Allison's mom made this and made our whole nativity scenes. Kids, did you even know that baby Jesus was missing this morning? You didn't know, did you? You didn't go over there, did you? You know what? I'm going to keep him in a special place throughout the whole season. He'll reappear. He'll reappear. You know, just with a little bit of creative intentionality, Eddie in that video has just helped set the stage for his whole family to experience the true meaning of Christmas. In fact, giving his family clues that would lead them to finding baby Jesus. That's precisely what we see God the Father arranging on the night that Jesus was born some 2,000 years ago. Take your Bible with me, if you would, and turn to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 2. If you didn't bring a Bible, there should be one right in the row in front of you. Luke chapter 2 is going to be on page 857. If you don't have a Bible, come by the pastor's coffee when we're finished this morning. I'll give you a brand new one. That'll be our gift to you. While you're turning to Luke chapter 2, let me just tell you this, that if you were to ask pretty much any preacher the two most challenging sermon series to prepare for and to preach each year, I think nearly 100% of the preachers would say, man, it's preparing for Christmas and Easter. Now, why would preachers say that? It's because most people, particularly the people in this room, most likely know how those two stories unfold and how those stories are going to end. And so if that's the case, what I want to do today and through this sermon series of the gifts of Christmas, what I want to try to do is show us all a fresh angle of Christmas. And what I want us to really look at today is just the gift-giving nature and character of our great God. He is a great giver of gifts. And what I'm going to show us is throughout several passages. And as we go through several passages today, I invite you just to jot the addresses down. Don't try to turn over. They'll be on the screen. And then go back this week and look at these different passages. And what I want to do is to do my best to show you how these gifts of Christmas and this gift that we're going to look at today, this gift of expectancy in the Messiah who would bring hope to our world and to our lives, how this all fits together. And so what I want to start off with is helping us all to look at these clues of finding Jesus that are right here in Luke chapter 2. Do you remember those clues if you've read this story before or heard this story before? Do you remember the clues to the whereabouts of the baby Jesus that are recorded here in the Gospel of Luke? Well, the messenger, as Carolyn just sang, and didn't Carolyn do an incredible job leading us this morning? Help me just to thank her again for a great job of worship that she led us in. The messenger of God gave these clues that we're going to see to the shepherds. And I believe what Carolyn's saying about, I believe in those shepherds. I believe God gave the clues to go find baby Jesus. And they were out in the fields on that special night. Look with me in Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. Luke 2, verses 10 through 12. It says this. And the angel said to them, said to the shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Here come the clues. Verse 12. "And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." Man, what a timely treasure hunt that would lead to the greatest gift that the world would ever have discovered, let alone be given. I mean, in those three memorable verses from the Christmas story, God the Father made arrangements for the gift of His one and only Son to be found. To be found by those who would seek Him. That's what the Scripture says, those who would seek Him. And although the clues of the newborn Savior's whereabouts were given to the shepherds on that night, as we just read, verse 10 clearly states that this gift from our Heavenly Father was good news, it says, for all the people. Not just the shepherds, but for all the people. I mean, after the shepherds received those clues about that good news, along with it came a level of expectancy that caused them to do more than just merely marvel at what they had just heard. See, their expectancy in this advent, this arrival of their Savior who had been born, caused them to go into action, caused them to do something. It caused them to seek out the baby, seek out those clues. He'll be lying in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. And what unfolded at the conclusion of their seeking is what so many have depicted in their living rooms, in their homes, have unpacked these little nativity scenes that's complete with Mary, Joseph, and who? Not just Jesus, but baby Jesus, asleep on the hay. Little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. Look at Luke 2:16. Look what it says. It says, "And they went with haste," and what's that next word? "And they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger." Kids, draw me a picture this morning of what you think the faces of the shepherds looked like when they had been on this treasure hunt. They had these clues from the angel, and they got there, and they see baby Jesus. What do you think the expression on those shepherds' faces looked like on that first Christmas? Draw me a picture of what you think their expressions on their faces look like, and put it on my board when we're done today. I love seeing your pictures each week. You know, it's really important to remember something, to remember that our Heavenly Father, He never leads the ones that He loves on a wild goose chase. He never leads us on an adventure in missing the point. Instead, our Heavenly Father desires for His followers to seek and then to find and then to experience the full measure of His good and perfect gifts. Did you know that God the Father wanted the gift of His Son Jesus to be found? Did you know that? He really, really did. He wanted Him to be found in that manger that first Christmas. He wanted the Savior of the world to be worshipped. He wanted Him to be adored. And what He wants for all the people, what He wants for all people to know about this gift is that, as with all good gifts, the place that they come from is straight from the Father's hand. Straight from the Father's hand. Have you ever played that little game when you were a kid, or maybe you've played it with somebody else, and you'll put a coin or a little trinket or a piece of candy, and you'll put it in your hand, and then you'll put it behind your back, and you'll kind of change it around, then you'll put it out, and you'll go, "Choose.
Anybody ever play that game? Raise your hand if you've ever played that game. Raise your hand if you ever played that game with somebody. Yeah. You know what you never did? You never went, choose. And they go, this one. And then they go, okay, it's not that one. They go, oh, let's play it again. Choose. And you do it? No. And you did it like five times, and then you go, okay, choose. Nope. Nope. See, life's full of disappointments, kid. Sorry. Nobody did that game. If you did that game, you're a bad person. You and I need to have a conversation. I mean, who would do that? Who would do that? And sometimes it kind of feels like in our lives that that's what God's doing with us, that he's playing these games. And we might not get it right the first time. But, you know, if we keep coming back to our Father, we won't walk away empty-handed. He's going to give us good gifts. Why would I say something like that? Because that's in his nature and it's in his character to give good gifts to his kids, not to just keep playing games and keep disappointing us. You go, how can you say that, Pastor? Because the Word of God already says it. Look at James chapter 1, verse 17. It'll be on the screen. This is what it says about our great gift-giving God. It says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the, would you say that phrase with me? The Father of lights. It goes on to say this, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Man, that verse reminds us that everything we have comes to us as a gift from our Heavenly Father. That's what George Butler was talking about when he was valuing our time of worship through giving. Everything we have comes from God. It's only natural that we would worship God through our giving. Everything we have comes from the hand of our Father. Or as that verse that we just read refers to God as the Father of what? The Father of lights. Man, that phrase is a really interesting phrase. It's an ancient Jewish term that refers to God and describes God for his unique creative ability to design the heavens, to design the stars, to design the moon that shines and that reflects the creative beauty in the sky. Father of lights. The Father of lights description, it actually ties back to a really good gift that God gave us called light. Did you know that light comes from God? Yeah, it does. It really does. If you didn't know, now you know. Our Heavenly Father, on day one, it's in his nature and his character. Did I tell you that? That he's a great giver of gifts? From day one, he's been given good gifts. All the way back on the first pages of the Bible, the first pages of Scripture, if you go back to Genesis chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, this is what it will say. And God said, let there be what? Say it with me. Light. He's the Father of what? Lights. Let there be light. And there was what? There was light. And God saw that the light was what? It was good. He gives good gifts. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning. The first what? The first day. From the very first day, he's been giving good gifts to his kids. And that first gift he gave was light. And he said, it's good. It's good. Ever since that good gift of light given by the Father of lights on day one, our Heavenly Father consistently has been giving good gifts to his kids and good gifts to his creation. This act of giving good gifts, that's just part of God's nature. It's part of God's character. It's part of the nature and character of our Heavenly Father. One of the most natural things for a good dad to do for his kids, with his kids, is to give his kids what they need. That's the picture that Jesus helped the people that were listening to him teach on a mountainside one day. That's the picture that he gave them when he's trying to describe who God is, helping them trying to understand who God is. He's a good dad who gives good gifts to his kids. Jot down Matthew chapter 7. Jot that down. Matthew 7, verses 9 through 11. Jesus is talking to a crowd of people on the side of a hill. This is what he said in Matthew 7, verses 9 through 11. 11, he says, or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, Jesus not being real politically correct, he's just telling the truth. If you then, who are evil, no one's good but God alone. If you then, if we are evil, if we know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will your Father who's in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Wow. Jesus helps people see how good and how gracious and what a great giver of gifts our Father in heaven is like. Our God is a great dad who loves to give good gifts to his kids. And one of the greatest and one of the clearest demonstrations of this part of God's nature and character as a good giver of gifts is what Jesus talks about in John chapter 3. In John chapter 3, beginning in verse 16. Anybody ever heard of John 3:16? Yeah, some of you got that one memorized? I dare you to memorize all the way through verse 21. See, we can kind of whip out old John 3:16. Just say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now listen to where it goes on from there. Jesus just keeps going. For God, this is Christmas. Look at verse 17, it's Christmas. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he's not believed in the name of the only Son of God. There's not many sons of God, there's one Son of God. Again, Jesus being very, very, very politically incorrect, he's just right. Believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. There's that word again, the light. The light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than the light. Why? Because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the what? Comes to the light. Why? So that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. Don't you love the word of the Lord? Thanks be to God. See, the nature and the character of our Heavenly Father is that he is a good giver of good gifts. He loved the world. That means he loved us. He loved us. Anybody watch the Star Wars trailer that came out this week? Like 50 times? Yeah. See, it's not talking about Earth. That's talking about a long time ago, far, far away, galaxy, way. He loved the world. It means he loved us. And yes, I'm going to go see that Star Wars December 2015. I can't wait. But what I want you to get is that, man, he loved world. He loves us. He loves you. Man, he loves you. And he demonstrated how much he loved us by resorting back to his nature and his character as a giver of good and perfect gifts that come right down from his hand. How does he do that? He gave his one and only son. His name was Jesus. It's still name is Jesus. His name will always be Jesus, the one true God by whom all people must be saved. Jesus. Jesus. And he was born of a virgin in a manger in Bethlehem as the Savior for the whole world. The whole world. And that's the good news that we're instructed to go and tell, not only on the mountain, but over the hills and where? Everywhere. That's why we just got through sending a team in North Africa, because people in North Africa need to know. They need to know. Your relatives that you've got tension with need to know that you're going, we got to see them again at Christmas. Are you kidding me? Yes. Isn't that good news? It is if you've got good news. He's been born in a manger in Bethlehem, but you know what? He longs to be born in the hearts and in the lives of each and every person on this planet whom God so loves. That means you. That means me. That means even your crazy relatives and your crazy neighbors. Don't you remember what it said in Luke 2? Verse 10, we just read it a moment ago. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for which people? Be for all the people. Man, that verse right there, that verse is about a gift that all people can expect to receive and to come and to bring them hope in their hearts and in their lives. But think about this question for a minute. Which Jesus are we actually hoping and expecting to see at Advent? Which Jesus are we expecting to share with somebody else? Which Jesus? You know, what are you talking about? Let me tell you a little story. That question reminds me of a little story about a woman named Charlotte. Charlotte was the director. She ran a Christian daycare. And she bought lots of toys for the kids. She loved the kids. And one of the toys that she bought for the kids that came to her Christian daycare was this real plush little toy of Jesus. And this Jesus was a happy Jesus. He was a smiling Jesus. If you hugged him, he was kind of a squishy Jesus. That's kind of how I am after Thanksgiving. I'm kind of squishy. And this Jesus was kind of squishy. And when the kids hugged him and held him, he just kind of hugged them back a little bit. You know, those kind of good toys that kind of hug you back. And that's the kind of toy that you want if you're going to be hugging that toy. You want a cuddly toy. You want a soft toy. You kind of want to be a little squishy. You don't want a teddy bear or whatever that's hard and rigid and rough. You want a squishy, huggable one. And some of the parents kind of began to object to that toy that all the kids wanted to go and hug on and play with and talk to. And the parents just kind of weren't happy with that, the huggable Jesus toy, because they thought the word that kept coming up, the word that kept showing up on Facebook, the word that kept coming around in social media was that toy is just kind of inappropriate. It's just kind of an inappropriate Jesus. And Charlotte, the director, she didn't hesitate. She just got the parents together and just asked them a question that needed to be asked. She said, well, which Jesus do you want your kids at this very early stage of life to begin to associate with? A breakable Jesus that's way up high on a shelf, that's rigid and always looks down on them, that they can't ever really touch or get close to? Or do you want a Jesus that they can relate to? And when they hug them, he kind of hugs them back. And when they talk to him, because, man, kids will tell their toys all kinds of things. You know why they do that? Because their toys never judge them. They just listen and keep smiling. And Charlotte's just asking the question, at this very formidable age, which Jesus do you want your kids to begin to associate with first? Which Jesus are you expecting this Christmas? Which Jesus are you trying to share this Christmas? The one that'll play games but always ends up giving good gifts. The one that brings us life and brings us back to life. Or some Jesus is kind of like an elf on a shelf that just sits there and moves around, but you can't ever really get to him. And he's just always looking down at you. Yes, yes, Jesus arrived in Bethlehem some 2,000 years ago on that very first Advent, that very first arrival. And just before Jesus ascended into heaven, after his death on the cross, after his burial in the tomb, after the resurrection at that first Easter, he told his followers, I'm coming back someday. I'm going to arrive here again. Adventus is coming again. And in a very real sense, what we're now waiting on and hoping for is the second arrival, the second
Advent. We are waiting for Jesus to come again. And all who have put their faith, hope, and trust in Jesus for life and for salvation are looking forward to receiving this promised gift of His return with great expectation and great hope. And men and women, this hope begins again, afresh and anew, at the Advent season. It reminds us of what we hope for and who we hope in. And when we light a single candle, it's not just because it's pretty, although it is pretty. That first Advent candle reminds us, oh yeah, hope. A hope who's the light in our dark world. Would you say the word hope with me on three? One, two, three. Hope. 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 See, this Savior of the whole world is known as the light of the world. Jesus referred to Himself in those very terms, the light of the world. John chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus, the light of the world, came into the world to drive out the darkness. And in a sense, on that first Christmas night in Bethlehem, God the Father, check this out, this is so cool. God the Father gave to us the gift that we read about that He had already given on day one. He just wrapped flesh around it. On day one, creation, God gave a gift and He said, let there be what? Light. Let there be light. And on that first Christmas, He said, let there be the light of the world. Isn't that cool? I just love that. Let the light of Jesus Christ, the Savior and the Messiah of the whole world, come into this dark place and provide not only light, but also hope, love, joy, and peace. Hope, love, joy, and peace. And on Christmas Eve, we light this candle to remind us that's the Christ candle. And the Christ of Christmas came in a dark place to bring us light, to bring us hope, to bring us joy and love and peace. That's who He is. He's a great gift. And doesn't it cause your expectations to rise when you think about experiencing the great gifts of Christmas? Man, it does me. Big time. Big time. And I pray that Jesus Christ would just begin to shine brightly in your life this Christmas if He lives inside of your heart. For all of those who've been living in darkness, who feel far away from God, you know, in our darkness, may we all just begin to see the light of Christ beginning to shine bright and shine clear. And as people see the light of Jesus Christ, may they begin to receive this good and perfect gift that comes from the Father of lights, and may they begin to come back home to their Heavenly Father who deeply loves them. And you may be sitting there going, how can a person come back home to God the Father when they may be feeling very far away, may be feeling very distant, maybe feel like they're living in a foreign land in a dark place in their life? How can you come back home to that kind of a God? Well, if you remember what Eddie said in the video, he mentioned a verse from the Old Testament. In the Old Testament book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, verse 13, Eddie quoted this verse, and it says, "You will seek me, and you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart." God spoke those words to His people through the prophet Jeremiah when those people were living in a very dark place, were feeling very far away from God. It was during a chapter in their story that was known as the exile. It happened, took place 2,600 years ago, 600 years before Jesus would be born in a manger in Bethlehem. And God speaks to His people, known as the Israelites. They were living in this foreign land after they'd been defeated by their enemies. Maybe you feel defeated today.
These people felt defeated. They were defeated by their enemies. They had been uprooted from their homes and from their familiar surroundings. They were made to live in an oppressive and in a lonely and in a dark place. And even though in their heart of hearts, they felt like they were abandoned and far away from God in a dark place in their story, God sends a messenger, the gift of a messenger named Jeremiah, with good news to these people. In Jeremiah 29:11-13, maybe you've heard some of these words before, but God gives these words as a gift to his people through his prophet Jeremiah, and he says this, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a what? A hope." Give you a hope. "And then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. And you will seek me, and you will" what? "Find." Same thing he told the shepherds. You'll find the baby. You'll seek me, and you'll find me when you seek me with all your heart. Man, those words that Jeremiah spoke from God to his people were a gift filled with great expectancy, and it brought his people real hope to a people that needed a good gift in that season of life. Man, God the Father always gives good gifts to his kids at just the right time. At just the right time. And he invites us to come back home. And he makes a way for us to come back home through Jesus. And in this Old Testament passage, God made a way for his people to come back home through seeking God with all of their heart, from head to toe, all that was within them, through prayer and through calling on God. And the promise of a great future was in that gift. And a hope, man, that was a gift of expectancy. And it came straight from the hand of God. And you know, Jeremiah is not the only voice in the Bible who talked about seeking God. Jesus, the Lord Jesus, talks about seeking God with all your heart. In that passage we read earlier, Matthew chapter 7, I invited you and encouraged you to write that down. Matthew chapter 7, just before Jesus talks about the nature and character of God being a father who gives good gifts to his kids. Look what he says in verses 7 and 8. This is so great. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. Jesus says, "Ask and it will be given to you." What's that next word? "Seek. And you will" what? "You'll find. Knock, and it will be opened for you. For everyone," that's you and me, "everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be opened." Men and women, once again, the gift of expectancy, this gift of expectancy with hope is given to those who will seek God with all your heart, with all my heart, with all your heart. Ask, seek, and knock. Man, it's an invitation, men and women. He's given us an invitation this Christmas season. Not only to know the answer to a question, but to know the Father himself. How awesome is that? And such a gift comes with the expectancy and the hope of moving from a dark place in your life to a place filled with light. A place filled with hope. Isn't that where you want to live? Man, that's where I want to live. That's what I'm moving toward. I'm inviting you to follow me from darkness to light. So glad it's Christmas, aren't you? Because it gives us an excuse to seek again. And perhaps this Christmas, we could follow in the creative footsteps that Eddie displayed in the video and hide baby Jesus. In a way that would cause all of our families to seek him differently this Christmas. Now, Jesus, he doesn't want to stay wrapped up as the baby in the manger. He wants to be found by each one of us, by you and by me. And unwrapped in a fresh way this Christmas. And I just wonder if you'd be willing to do something different in your life, in your family, in your traditions that would cause you and your family to seek him differently this Christmas. Because Jesus said, "If you seek me, you'll find me." God said through his prophet Jeremiah, "If you seek me, you'll find me." you seek me with all your heart. And by the way, know that our Heavenly Father, He seeks something too this Christmas. He seeks something from you and you and from you and from you. You can tweet about this right now. You can get your phones out. Go right ahead. You've got permission. Tweet, post, do whatever you want to do. And you just tell your friends, God seeks something from you. You go, what does He seek? Well, Jesus mentioned it in John chapter 4, verse 23. This is what He seeks. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is what? Seeking such people to worship Him. What do you give to the God of the universe that already has everything? Your heart. You give Him your worship. You seek Him in spirit and in truth. And as we're seeking Him this Christmas season, know that God is seeking something too. He's seeking you. And He's seeking me. God wants worshipers for Christmas. And will you be one who worships not a season at Christmas, but a Christ? The Christ. Jesus. Let me just ask you, what might you do that is creatively intentional to remind you to seek God with all your heart this Christmas? Perhaps it's to follow Eddie's example and take a part of the nativity and hide it this Christmas. Keep the manger in your home in the nativity, but take the manger actually out of it. To remind you, don't leave Jesus out this Christmas. And maybe just begin to invest some quiet moments alone with Him each day or with your family to remember the importance of the most focal piece of the Christmas story. What would it look like 30 days from now, 25 days from now, whatever, when you gather around day after day after day, but you look at an empty scene? What would that do for you? What would that do for your kids? Your kids would never forget it. That's what our kids are going to do. We've never done this before. Get one last look, kids. You'll see Him Christmas Eve if He doesn't come and arrive before then. What are you going to do that's going to be symbolic and meaningful? Is He living in the manger of your own heart? If He is, will you share that good news with somebody else? We prayed about that last night, didn't we, Jack? Didn't we, Lucy? About who can we share that with? Who can we share that with? If you ask Him, I believe He'll tell you. There's somebody in your life that's expecting something. And you may have the gift that God wants you to give to them. His name's Jesus.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our church website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning services at 9:30 a.m. Feel free to join us this week.